Welcome to Linux Link Radio by TimeSys, a podcast for embedded Linux developers.
Hi, this is Gene Sally. I'm presenting this episode of Linux Link Radio by TimeSys. I'm doing this by myself. I don't have my cohort, Maciej, with me. He's out talking to customers this week, and so we wanted to get an episode ready, and so I'm going to be doing it myself. So one of the things I want to talk about this week is something probably a little bit less technical, and that is why customers ended up picking Linux. And what I was doing over the past couple weeks, I was traveling. I was over on the West Coast, outside the country, talking to customers about why they pick Linux, why Linux was important to them, how it was helpful in their projects, and of course, you know, how Linux Link fulfilled their needs for them, and if we did a good job doing that. One of the things that I thought would be most insightful to learn whenever I interviewed our customers is why do they decide to use Linux in the first place? There are several embedded operating systems out there that they could use in order to do some of their, you know, in order to fulfill their project needs. And in a lot of cases, even though the embedded operating system alternatives were out there, they still pick Linux over something that they had worked with before. And so they decided to make a change and start using Linux over any number of alternative operating systems. And so I was very curious to understand why they chose that and why that was important to them, such that they, you know, go away from what they were using before and that they had some degree of comfort with, and also needed to undergo some amount of porting effort. One of the big drivers or big reasons was device driver support. Depending upon the embedded operating system that you pick, you may not have support for certain device drivers, certain devices, that may not be supported at all in the case of some OSs that are out there, or the support may be something that's a cost item, something you may have to pay for. And depending upon the environment that you're in, sometimes it's quite difficult to cost justify the additional cost for the driver, even if you ship in the hundreds of thousands of units, depending upon how it's priced. So that was far and away the first item that was indicated in the list. It had nothing to do with necessarily free software or that Linux was GPL or any of the licensing issues or cost, some of the cost issues, but it was usually the fact that the driver support was not available or not available more appropriately at a reasonable cost given the cost structure of the project. And that sort of segues into the second item. Most customers that I talk to, most users, and these are customers that have, you know, shipping products with Linux, picked it because it was in fact free and open software, and they felt like going with Linux and picking Linux was something that let them be free from their vendor. One of the important things to point out, and I want to talk about that later in a little bit more detail, is that free to these users didn't necessarily mean cost free. It meant that they had the ability to change and modify and twist and bend Linux to fit their particular needs. And they could do that given the terms of the license, and that's something that they really did not have the freedom or necessarily the expertise to do with their prior OS. Depending upon the operating system that you use, sometimes you don't get the source code to it, or it comes packaged in object files that you link together in order to build an operating system, and you really don't have that source code, or you happen to get source code that's given to you. However, you fall outside of your support agreement if you modify it. And so by picking up something like Linux, these customers feel like they've taken some of the risk out of their project with respect to meeting some of their specific needs whenever they have to get in and modify the operating system. Now, of course, depending upon the project, I talked to customers that did everything from, you know, printers to satellite communications. Depending upon the project, their needs and to modify the kernel may be, you know, quite small, and some of them actually made, you know, fairly wholesale revisions to the kernel in order to meet their project needs. But in all cases, even customers that said it was very important for them to have the ability to change the kernel didn't actually do so. It was just for them the feeling of assurance that they didn't happen to be locked in, or in case that they did run into an interesting corner condition, they could get in there and make the changes that they needed in order to be successful. So the freedom, as in, you know, free to modify, free to change, free to, you know, free to have the software and change it to meet their needs, was a huge driver in that market. The next item was royalties. Now, I know I just mentioned that, you know, cost wasn't a substantial factor. Generally, for some of the projects, not all, they fell into a couple different camps. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But the idea of royalties at runtime was an issue for some operating systems. Now, of the customers I talked to, there are two different camps, I would say, things divided into. You had the high unit camps, so customers that would be making 10, 50, 100,000 of, you know, whatever things they had, or you had customers that made 3 or 4 or 5. Now, both of these still made embedded systems, no doubt about it. It's just the volume in which the embedded systems were sold. Royalties became very important for people that did larger scale systems because they represented not only a financial overhead, which could be built into the price depending on market conditions, but they also represented an administrative overhead, and it also was an intrusion into their business. So not only the fact that they have to go in and report the number of particular licenses sold, that in itself introduced some administrative overhead. Someone had to keep track of that and fill out the form and write the report and get the check out and those sort of things. But it also exposed some internal state of the company to someone they may not be interested in doing that to. And so the idea that royalties are difficult isn't necessarily, again, a financial issue. Now, I found that the customers that were in the low volume group were less concerned about things like royalties, and that made sense for them because if you think they didn't have a large number of units to buy, typically the machine they were selling was a high unit cost enough they could pre-purchase their license reasonably, or the software was, or each order was bespoke, so that, you know, customers would make large custom orders and they would just happen to ship a few of these things, and so a lot of the administrative risk was gone. I found that very curious because it wasn't necessarily just the financial aspect, you know, a dollar or two or something per unit, but it was the administrative and privacy aspect that caused a lot of customers to shy away. The other driver behind Linux was the belief that more support was available. There was a greater pool of support, both from a perspective of the open source community and the fact that they would have an easier time attracting talent in order to do their engineering work. And this I found really curious because a lot of customers doing embedded engineering believed, and, you know, by talking to the engineers, you know, practice what they preach, and that some of their engineering staff, in fact, worked on enterprise systems before coming into doing embedded Linux work. So when they think about support, it's quite a different model. It's not just will someone pick up a phone at a company, but it's will I be able to staff my project appropriately in order, you know, will I be able to get the right talent? Will I be able to get the right people so I can staff my project so I can make my deadlines? And in an overwhelming number of cases, companies had selected Linux because they believed they could attract that support from the talent pool that was local to them. And I thought that was a ringing endorsement of Linux in that it's so widely accepted at this point that even embedded folks who typically are used to working with more, I should say, off-the-beaten-path systems pick Linux because they know they can get engineers to work on it. And it's really great to see software engineers look at a career in embedded as an attractive thing to do, and are able to use their Linux skills in a couple different contexts instead of just doing enterprise work. So I found that was a little bit surprising. Of all the reasons I expected to hear, that's one I really did not expect to hear. And lastly, the other large driver was not necessarily device support, but it's a variant of device support, and that's root file system support. So those are things that you can do out there running in user land that are either expensive, difficult to obtain, or non-existent on alternative operating systems. I can't tell you how many engineers that I talked to and project managers were thrilled at the fact they could pick from three or four different small HTTP servers that they could then modify in order to meet the needs of their project. And that made life a lot easier for them. It wasn't just a pick one sort of thing where they had no choice over what server to get. They could pick one that, that specifically fit their needs. Same with things like customers that had a need for SSH, or customers had need for SNMP, or customers that had need for even file sharing services. They did have their pick, and they could select what worked best for them, and they weren't stuck, so to speak, with a certain version of software, a certain vendor of software. And I thought that was very interesting. It works a lot like the driver model, where you think, well, I have all these drivers and I can support my hardware, but it's much deeper, because customers are able to produce what they view as being better software faster by relying on the components that you would find in the root file system, things they used to have to write themselves. And I was always sort of curious whenever I talked to customers that used other operating systems, and to see the amount of work that they did by hand. In fact, I was talking to one customer, and their prior release of the product, this is something that, without revealing the customer's name, they had a product that used a touchscreen GUI, and they did a lot of that touchscreen GUI engineering by hand, and they were starting to evaluate different Linux alternatives, and they found out that, hey, if I use Linux, I can get a touchscreen library, I can get a GUI library, I can get something to handle buttons for me, I can do a better job for my end customers. I can deliver to them both more features at lower cost than if I had to do this in-house. And if they picked an alternative operating system, that is something that they did in fact have to do in-house. And that would substantially reduce their total cost with respect to delivering their system, not only in time, but in money as well. And so, and that's a savings that would show up year after year as they continue to improve their product and not have to worry about when I call it peripheral software, so to speak, that while it's vitally important that they have, really isn't their business model. For this particular company, it wasn't important that the display, look a certain way, or the buttons have a certain shape, but it was vitally important that they did have buttons and they did have a touch screen. And with their current solution, that's something that they had to do on their own. And with Linux, they were looking at a substantial savings simply by beginning to use components and software already out there and available in the open source community. Now, I did want to bring up a couple things, because when I probed, it's like, well, so you came into Linux, you had these certain expectations about why you picked. And for customers, it's a broad range of customers. Some customers were considering Linux. Some customers were just starting their project. Other customers were, in the throes of engineering. And yet other customers were out there, and they had released two or three revisions of the product, and they were working on their fourth or fifth or third revision. And they all had different views whenever I asked them, well, for the reasons that you picked Linux, did you find that, Linux was in fact right for you? Did it match up with your expectations? And in that case, of course, the folks that are just getting involved doing development couldn't answer that, right? But the folks that were involved in Linux overwhelmingly said yes. And I think that's a ringing endorsement for Linux. And when I sort of probed around a little bit, I found that customers were even surprised at the amount of productivity they got out of Linux versus what they thought. And when I asked more questions and tried to understand, I found that a lot of the companies involved weren't at all afraid of doing their own Linux investment. And I'm making a little floating quotes with my fingers, investment. And they understand that Linux is material where they where they will need to do some amount of changes to, right? So they don't view it as something completely finished for them. They view Linux as something where they can get in and make changes, and they expect to do that. And there's not a trepidation on the part of managers or engineers to dig in and make changes. Of course, it depends a little bit on the company. Some companies were, as the way the company operated, some companies were less willing to take on that risk, while others were more willing. But in all, the slant was companies were willing to do some amount of work in Linux, and they look forward to that and didn't view it as necessarily a large risk or a big detriment to adopting the operating system over other operating systems. And the other thing is that, along with not being afraid to invest in Linux, that sort of signals that customers weren't afraid of paying for Linux, or didn't view Linux as being free, as in I don't have to pay anything. Most of the customers understood the value that a commercial Linux distribution offered, and that system integrators offered, and they made their pricing, or they made their buying decisions rather rationally, and at no point really expected something to be completely free and operational for their board up and running that they didn't have to pay for. So that was very good research. As a Linux vendor, it's important to always define that your customers are see value in what you're doing and willing to pay you. But it does help. It does help from a business perspective to understand that, you know, customers see the value that commercial Linux distributions offer, and you know, pair that up against what it would cost to do the same thing internally and see the value that's offered. So I found that to be very good news. I also found that customers, depending upon the customer, also want some level of help. You know, a lot of customers, when they said, "Okay, I picked Linux because it's, you know, free software, and I know I'm going to be able to change it, and I know I'm going to want to change it," there were two obvious approaches to doing that. Some companies had that expertise in house, so if you had a larger company, they would. Or even a smaller company. I shouldn't say it's either large or small, but some companies had the engineering resources on hand in order to do the changes that they wanted to make to Linux in order to make it acceptable for their particular commercial use. And those customers, of course, would have someone internally make the changes, and they would track that investment and changes they would make, and they would try to contribute those to the open source community. That's something I did find, that they were actually fairly willing to contribute. The other is that companies were quite happy to pay someone else to do that, that I don't say it was surprising, but that was interesting to see that, you know, even in the face of free software, the companies still intended to focus on their value add and were quite comfortable contracting out either to a reseller or to an individual company. Either to a reseller or to like an individual contractor, you know, certain parts of their system. So that was really encouraging to see that sort of, not to sound too markety, ecosystem growing up around Linux. It was also encouraging that a lot of the buying managers or managers that had purchasing approval understood that Linux in and of itself wasn't something that was free as in cost free, but rather supplied them with freedom with respect to the software they created, and could ship out on their boards. So that's really what I really wanted to cover for my talk. I probably would talk longer. However, I didn't have Maciej to talk with me, so I'm sorry about that. I really am. I know he'll be coming back shortly, and you know, maybe later we'll have a conversation between the two of us about other patterns we found among customers and why they pick Linux and how Linux ended up being advantageous for them. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them to us. The email address is podcast@timesys.com, or you can always visit us at timesys.com. Either way, whatever works best for you. I think we have on Freenode, too, there's a IRC channel for us. It's pound timesys. at irc.freenode.net. You can visit us there. Usually either myself or Maciej are hanging around and more than happy to hear any of your comments or questions. So again, love to hear from you. Oh, you know what, too? I'm getting flagged because I forgot to mention that at the bottom of our podcast page, there's a feedback link. And we notice that we have a lot of customers, and but visitors that come there, and they cancel. They don't post their comment, which is really curious. But if you have any questions or comments, please drop by, drop us a line. I'm more than happy to hear from you. Thank you very much, and we'll look forward to having you for our next episode. It'll probably be ready in about 2 weeks or so. Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by TimeSys. Check out our new site to get free code, discuss, and learn about embedded Linux development. Go to TimeSys.com today.